it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, we are back in Houston, and let's get some runs. Man alive. Orioles have scored just 4 runs in the last 33 innings, and so they need to be in the win column tonight. They lost 5 straight. They've lost 11 out of 14. They're dropping in the Eastern Division right now. I mean, the Yankees today have already won. The Red Sox today have already won. The Blue Jays today have already won. So they need to win in Houston tonight. Wade Miley on the hill. Let's see what happens. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and Rock Kubatko when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Kubatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, a game last night when you look back at, I think we're 4 doubles and the bases loaded, no out situation in the 8th. You just look at that as a game of missed opportunities where just one hit in there could have changed the outcome.
Well, without a doubt. You know, it's frustrating because they were out there. Credit to their guys, their pitching staff. They did a good job of buckling it down. Kind of overlooks the great outing that that Gauss had. He was solid and deserved a better fate.
Kevin Gausman said that he feels like he's kind of putting everything together now. This is the closest he's come. Are you seeing that now?
Yeah, that's a really, you know, you play in this club in their ballpark as good as they are and hold them to 2 runs, that speaks volumes. And, you know, we've said all along, we know that what Kevin's capable of, and we hope the last couple starts are an indication of that.
15 of the last 16 games, this is my math, I believe, have been decided by 2 runs or fewer with 10 losses in there. Do you look at that glass half full that, obviously competitive and you're that close, and again it's just going to take a hit here or there to turn things around?
You know, I don't dwell on it. You know, we won 5 or 6 one-run games in April and some two-run games, and you know, that's a W is a W, L is a L. If you over analyze this, you're going to drive yourself crazy. I'll leave that to everybody else, but you know, we're trying to figure out a way to be score more runs than they do over 9 inning span, and that's been a challenge for us lately.
Dallas Keuchel off the DL starting tonight. What kind of challenges does he present?
Well, he's a guy that, you know, he's going to throw less than 50% fastballs. He's going to showcase the fastball in off the plate, and he's going to use your emotion probably as well as anybody to get you out. He's not going to ever give in the count. He's probably the best fielding pitcher in baseball. And when you do that and you hold runners like he does, you know, you got to group a lot of hits together, and it's tough off him. But you got to be very disciplined and not get into an emotional at-bat.
Rock Kubatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, Chris Davis, he was on the field taking early BP today. He's in a 2-for-28 slump right now, 14 strikeouts. But before that, he was 10-for-26 with 5 home runs. So are you just waiting for that switch to come on again? I mean, what are you seeing from him at the plate?
Well, he's searching for what turns that switch on, and it's been a challenge for him. But, you know, he was out there yesterday too, and it's you know, I don't think a lot of people see the work that these guys put in every day, and that's what makes it doubly frustrating for them if they don't get a return for it. And, you know, the pitchers are real good, and when you're down, they're going to take advantage of it, and just got to make some adjustments to the pitching patterns. And, you know, Chris is what I call just in between on every pitch. When he's looking for one pitch, he gets another, and when he's not looking for anything, he's a little late with the trigger. But, you know, he's got a track record, and, you know, we're going to trust him.
Adam Jones not in the lineup tonight, and unusual against a left-hander. What's happening with him?
He jammed an ankle in Detroit, and he's really not getting any better. It's pretty sore. He's not able to fire on his front leg. His hips bother him a little bit. It's a lot of things that he and our guys play through over the course of the season like other teams do, and it's just got to the point where he needs to take a day, and we'll see where he is tomorrow.
Potential for DL situation, you think? Just a little bit of rest would help this.
Why don't you go down there and ask him? I mentioned that to him today, and he gave me that Adam Jones look. But yeah, I knew I wanted to have a conversation with him today about it, and I knew it had been bothering him a little bit yesterday. I could see he's not able to put a lot of, you know, good strength on that leg, and that's really hard to hit because you get real rotational up top when you do that, and makes it susceptible to a lot of things. But it's typical Adam. You know, he wants to play, but I hope it's just a day or two.
And Donnie Hart recalled today from Norfolk. Jason Aquino sent down. Did you feel like Donnie accomplished what he needed to in those 10 days he was away?
Well, Rock, if you remember, most of it was because of a need of a team. He had pitched that, I think, a couple of nights and wasn't going to be available, and we had a need down the bullpen, and it could help Donnie to go down there. He pitched well, and this was the day that he was eligible to come back, and we were able – I think we wanted to get Jason Aquino starting again and get him stretched out. He had been up here without pitching for too long, so it really served two purposes.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Interesting pitching matchup tonight. Wade Miley against Dallas Keuchel. They were, at one time, they were teammates in the Cape Cod League. Tonight, they're opponents in Houston. We'll continue with the warm-up show right after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Now we're in Houston, and tonight the Orioles, they've got to find a way to get back in the win column. We know they're how they've done lately, lost five games in a row. They've lost 11 out of 14. Right now in third in the Eastern Division. At the moment, they trail the Yankees now by three games. Now the Astros, that's a different story. They come in tonight 33-16, the best start in franchise history. And on May 27th, right now the Astros enjoying a nine-game division lead. In a moment, Mike Bordick will visit with Steve Parks, a one-time big leaguer, 9 years in the major leagues, and a former knuckleball pitcher, Steve Sparks. He is now an Astro broadcaster, so he will visit with Mike Bordick when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Today we're visiting with a longtime major leaguer and a longtime color analyst for the Houston Astros, Steve Sparks. Thanks for being on the show today. And just first of all, I want to ask you something about your knuckleball, because we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Of course, Steve Sparks, a great knuckleballer. Was drafted in, what, the fifth round by the Brewers?
Yeah, 1987.
Milwaukee Brewers, 1987. Pitched a couple years, and then they asked you to develop the knuckleball. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I was 6 years into my career in the minor leagues, and I was stalling out at the AA level. If I didn't have really good pinpoint control, then I was in trouble. So they thought I might be a good candidate for a knuckleball because my mechanics were pretty simple. It's helpful to be a little shorter in stature so you can stay behind the ball a little longer. And I tell a lot of people, Bordy, what helps more than anything, and you've known enough knuckleballers to kind of know, you can't have a certain kind of a temperament. You can't be really tightly wound or a high energy type of guy. You've got to be very relaxed and be able to be real calm to throw that pitch in game situations, especially big game situations. So I guess I was a decent candidate for that. They gave me a 3-year plan, and by the end of that third year, I was knocking at the door.
Yeah, unbelievable. You went on to, you played for five teams?
Yeah, I played for five teams, played 9 years in the big leagues.
And so I saw Detroit, you won 14 games. That was a pretty solid year. Huh?
Yeah, they kind of came together. Once you get kind of grooved in mechanically, it's a very mechanical pitch, and a lot of people can throw it on flat ground, but when it gets difficult, it's when you get off the mound, and being able to keep your palm behind the ball a little longer when you're throwing in it downhill, it becomes a little tricky. But yeah, that year in particular, logged a lot of innings and had my best year on not a very good team, but for me personally, it was pretty good.
Well, pretty amazing story in its own right. Obviously, determination, right? The guts, and obviously the commitment you made to that pitch. But longtime major leaguer anyway. But let's get on to some other stuff while we're here.
Sure.
Talk about the Houston Astros. It's been so much fun really watching this team, say, over the last 10 years. It seems like they were trying to catch up sabermetrically. They got a big team in here. And all of a sudden, it seems like things are coming to fruition for this Astros club. Can you kind of just take us back in time and lead us up to this day?
I really can. I think it kind of started with new ownership. Jim Crane bought the team, I believe, early 2011 and hired a new general manager late in 2011. That was Jeff Luhnow, who's still here. They got him over from the Cardinals, who was very sabermetrically bent. But what he did, he had a great presentation that he gave to the owner of the team about what he felt like this team needed to do to be able to sustain long-term success. And it was going to take some patience, and it was going to take a little bit of luck, but it was also going to take a formulated plan on how to evaluate players maybe a little differently when you look at pitchers' spin rates, things of that nature. So they bought what he was selling, and I'll tell you what, I mean, he's done some really good things. It started off with selling a lot of assets, and obviously when you do that, you got some older players, and you trade a Berkman, you trade an Oswalt and Chris Johnson, and the list goes on and on and on. They get rid of everybody they could, got as many prospects as they could into the farm system, and that was their plan. They wanted to fortify their farm system to where once they did get good, and they were obviously going to have a lot of high draft picks, they had to hit on those. And obviously Correa and Bregman, some of those guys were big in that. But if they were able to hit on those and had a good farm system, sign a few free agents, then they felt like they could sustain something for a long period of time.
So they did have a number of top drafts that obviously have kind of the cream rose to the top in that regard. But when they target specific players, say when they went out and made those drafts, was it all basically built around the sabermetric philosophy, the philosophy that they kind of created here, and were they targeting those type of players?
It's a great question. I think they do that once they get past maybe the third or fourth round. Now, I think they're looking at athletes. I mean, they drafted Springer, they drafted Correa, they drafted Alex Bregman. They've got a few guys that they feel are top-notch guys in the minor leagues pushing their way up in the same vein. But when they get down to the third and fourth and fifth round, they've been able to hit on some guys that they felt like had really good strike zone judgment. You'll see some walks, more walks than strikeouts, that type of deal throughout their college career, say. They also liked it. They love spin rate, on whether or not a guy can spin a curveball and what the revolutions are as far as that rate. That's how they picked up on a waiver claim Colin McHugh, who won 19 games for him a couple of years ago. They got him on a waiver claim because they liked his curveball. He hadn't even won a game in the big leagues. He was 0-8 to start his major league career. And all of a sudden, the Astros got him, and he's been a big-time acquisition. Another guy in their bullpen right now, Will Harris, they liked his spin rate on his curveball, too. And what do you know? He was an all-star last year. In the last couple of years, he's been one of the stalwarts in the pen for him. So they look at a lot of different angles. They like to use technology, obviously. They try to stay ahead of the curve. You know, they won't even give us a lot of the things that they think about going forward, but they've had a good plan. I mean, I will have to say this. The owner had to be very patient to be able to get through those 100 lost seasons and be able to let this thing come to fruition, but it's worked out.
Seems like this team is playing. It doesn't look like a sabermetric-built team. You know, I think a lot of baseball players in general, the lifers in the game, are kind of standoffish from that sense, but it seems like it's just a great group of athletes that are playing very well right now. Obviously, first place in the American League West, playing some pretty dominant baseball to start the 2017 season.
They are really athletic, Mike. And one thing that they noticed is they had to make it a more balanced lineup to make it more deep and tougher on the opposition. So they got some lefties. And you'll notice Reddick is in there. McCann is a good left-handed bat. Carlos Beltran, who hits from the left side, Nori Aoki. Last year, they were, you know, right-handed dominant. They didn't really have protection. Luis Valbuena got hurt the last couple of months of the season. They really got exposed. So being able to get some veteran leadership to go along with some pretty productive bats from the left side has really helped out.
Yeah, doing it really on both sides of the ball. It seems like offensively very well-rounded, 1-9. But the pitching has stepped up, and I think probably the most important piece is Keuchel, former Cy Young Award winner. Kind of a rough year last year, maybe a little banged up, but he looks healthy and on his game right now.
Yeah, he was banged up. I mean, you could tell there wasn't very much extension on all of his pitches. And what he does better than I've ever seen anybody in my life is he makes pitches look like strikes that end up balls. He really doesn't throw a lot of strikes, but they look like strikes, you know, and they look like they're right at the knees and they end up dipping real late. It's not that turbo sinker. It's just a little subtle sinker that does it really late. And he gets a lot of weak contact, a lot of ground balls, obviously. But another aspect to his game is he fields his position brilliantly. And when you get all those ground balls, he gets a lot of chances, so he helps himself out. But he's just one of those guys that makes pitches look like strikes. They end up balls and vice versa when he needs to.
What do you think gives him a problem? Is it a patient lineup that takes pitches? It seems like he kind of feeds off an over-aggressive offense.
You know what? I think he's really smart. I think sometimes teams will ambush him a little early, but he's pretty quick to react to that. I mean, we see that with a lot of pitchers, right? You'll see the Orioles go out there and try to ambush, say, a Justin Verlander early, but all right, here comes the curveball's first pitch. You know, he gets you off of that, and then he starts buzzing you a little tight and makes you uncomfortable again. So there's just different ways that I think you can plan against certain pitchers, but the way Dallas attacks guys in so many different ways, it makes it tough to really come up with one game plan because he changes a lot. He changes the second and third time through. He may change from game to game to try to stay ahead of those scouting reports.
Yeah, pretty amazing consistency three times through the lineup, probably the hardest thing to do in the game. But he's just coming off an injury as well. So he's making his first start since a 10-day DL stint.
Yeah, so he just missed one start. So, you know, they're thinking it was just a pinched nerve. He'd logged a lot of innings already coming off a season where ended up missing the last 6 weeks of the season. They thought, you know what, let's just make sure this doesn't make sure it calms down more than anything. It's just a pinched nerve in his neck, slept wrong one night in Miami. So felt like, let's knock this thing out, you know, keep his innings under control. We've got a pretty good size lead in the division, so this might be a good time to just get him some extra rest. So they went ahead and did it. He kept kicking and screaming. He didn't want to go on the DL, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what's best for the player.
Oh, very nice. That's some great insight from Steve Sparks. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show today, and best of luck the rest of the way through 2017.
Thanks, Mike. It's always good to see you.
All right. Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordy back in Houston in the loss column again. Orioles now have lost six straight, and they've lost 12 out of 15, and they are dropping in the Eastern Division, now third in the division standings. And now they're 3.5 games in back of the Yankees. And at the same time, they lose another game to the Boston Red Sox. Now, the Blue Jays are winning. The Blue Jays not closing in on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, they got beat today. And so that's how it goes. But Mike Bordick, we had the idea right away early that Wade Miley had to face seven batters in the first inning. So we thought then that for Miley, it might be kind of a short night.
Yeah, right. But somehow managed to minimize the damage. Yeah, two quick runs in the first inning. But he helped himself by picking off Correa at second base. He ended up getting out of there with only the two runs and kind of settled in and pitched a pretty good ball game. But unfortunately, the Oriole offense just could not come back, give him a little boost. And he made an early exit as the pitch count got jacked up, 100 pitches after the fifth inning.
How about Keuchel? He is now 8-0. He's won 10 straight going back to last year. What did you think of him tonight?
Well, he looked pretty impressive. I think the Orioles, a few hitters, did a nice job really working him, forcing him to throw a strike. But just as advertised, a lot of his pitches starting off on the plate, but just enough soft movement off the edges to induce a lot of weak contact. I think he only gave up one fly ball, a lot of ground balls in this game. So doing just what he has been doing all season long.
How about the Orioles' offense? You know, of course, Keuchel had a lot to do with that, as always, the opposing pitcher. But going into the third inning tonight, the Orioles had scored just four runs in 35 innings. In that third, they got one run on a risky send by Bobby Dickerson that worked out well. And they got the other run on a triple and a wild pitch. I mean, the Orioles in the entire game had only four at-bats with a runner in scoring position.
Yeah, you know, they had some opportunities in last night's game, couldn't come up with the big knock. And tonight, the Astros pitchers keeping them off base and really trying to push it. Bobby Dickerson at third base, really pushing the envelope with runners on, taking a little bit of a chance, scoring the first run on the board, but something to try to ignite this Oriole offense. Get some runners on base, but it's been quiet for sure.
Hey, Blyer looked good. O'Day looked good.
Oh, yeah. O'Day's looking great. He's on his game right now, throwing the ball well, good movement on all of his pitches and locating as well as we've seen. Blyer comes in, flips that fastball in there, gets a little two-seam movement, induces a lot of soft contact ground balls, a couple big ones in that seventh inning.
We'll continue with the postgame show right after this. All right, Joe Angel back in Houston. Well, right away, Wade Miley gave up a couple of runs in the bottom of the first inning. Springer, a single to get the Astros game started, and then Altuve came up to hit. Jose Altuve, batting average of .291. Here's the pitch, outside for a ball. Altuve, seven home runs, 22 RBIs. But his numbers against Miley are video game-like. He's gone 12 for 20 against him. And there's a drive. Hit to deep center field. Rickard racing back. Reaches out. Cannot make the play. It's on the warning track. Springer rounding third. Being waved in. Here's the relay. The tag at the plate. They missed the tag. And Altuve goes to third. The ball got there. Joseph gloved it, trying to make a tag. Springer, with a fadeaway slide, avoided the tag, and the run scores. So Altuve picks up his 23rd RBI. And then moments after that, and there's a little one-hopper off the glove of Davis, out to scope, and the throw to Miley. He goes right past Miley. The run scores. Chasing it down is Caleb Joseph. And Correa will be safely aboard at first base. He will get the RBI. It's a 2-0 Houston lead. After that, Wade Miley did a good job of minimizing the damage. It was 2-0 going into inning number three. Two outs, bases empty. Caleb Joseph got a walk. Rickard got a single. And then Castillo came up to hit. Keuchel, he delivers. A little breaking ball again. Ground ball, base hit to left field. So here's Joseph being waved in. Up with the ball, Gonzalez. Here's the throw. It hits Joseph. It gets behind the catcher. But Keuchel backing up. There's no other play. It's a 2-1 game. Yep, 2-1 game at that point. Then eventually in the fourth inning, one out, bases empty. That's when Bregman got a base hit. And then with two outs, Springer up there to hit. The guy with the 3-0 got a fastball to go 3-1. And then he got another fastball. Right now with the runner at second base and two outs. And the pitch, fly ball, left center. Way back there. Gone. He hit that thing on the railroad tracks. That's a two-run home run. Astros ahead, 4-1. Yep, 4-1 going to the seventh inning when Chris Davis was the leadoff hitter. Davis hits it to deep right center. Ball is way back there. So is Springer. Way back there. It's off the fence, the bullpen fence, and it bounces out towards center field. Davis around second. He's going for third, and he is in there standing without a play. And that's a leadoff triple for the big fella, Chris Davis. So he's on third base, nobody out. But then Mancini popped out, one down, and then Scope came up to hit, and that's when this happened. Scope, up there, no balls and two strikes. Infield backed up. Davis, third base, one out. Astros ahead, 4-1. Orioles got to get this guy in right now. And the 0-2 pitch. Scope in the dirt. Ball gets away. Wild pitch. The ball rolling toward that third base dugout. Here comes Davis, and he scores on a wild pitch.
Well, that'll do it. Hey, any way you can. Run across the plate. Orioles have been struggling here in Minute Maid Park, driving in runs. Here, the split finger or slider down in the dirt. Does not come up for McCann. Catches him off the knee guard. Kicks over towards the Orioles dugout. And Chris Davis able to walk in after that leadoff triple.
Yeah, that's these days that constitutes an Oriole rally, a triple and a wild pitch. Eventually, the game ended quietly. Scope back in. One ball, two strikes. Will Harris trying to end the game. Astros ahead 5-2. And the right-hander again comes to his set. He delivers 1-2. Swing and a miss. And the ball that was in the dirt. Ball game is over. And for the Orioles, another bogey. They cannot get off the bogey train. Orioles now with six straight losses. They've lost now 12 out of 15 games. And they're now 3.5 games back of the Yankees in the Eastern Division. On Sunday, they're going to close out this three-game series. And then we come home for Memorial Day at Camden Yards. And right now, we can't wait to get home. Yeah, amen to that. Orioles today did not hit a home run. But when they do, your next home run is going to be brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run Richard Scratch-Offs. You could win up to $50,000 instantly. We'll continue right after this.